Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu. From this companion there is a hadith that is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, this month that has come, in other words Ramadan, which has come, in Ramadan there will be such a night, there will be such a night that night will be greater than 1,000 months. 1,000 months. And in that night, if somebody loses out, then it is as if he has, or he is the biggest loser. He's lost everything. It's as if he has lost everything. And the person who loses, only that person can lose the benefit of Laylatul Qadr, who in reality is a loser. So this is a hadith. And the meaning of this hadith I've presented to you, I've explained to you. And Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah with Allah Ta'ala's blessings and Allah Ta'ala's mercies. Today, tonight, that night is here, which we call Laylatul Qadr. Now, normally, Laylatul Qadr, with regards to the night of power, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha narrates in a hadith that Laylatul Qadr, seek Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, amongst the odd nights, the last 10 days, the odd nights. 21st night, 23rd night, 25th night, 27th night, and 29th night. So this is the guidance that we've been given. The seek the Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights, in the last Ashura. And any one of these odd nights can be Laylatul Qadr. And there are other rawayat, other narrations with regards to Laylatul Qadr from the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. But the consensus of the ulama, of the scholars, is more biased and heavier on the 27th night. So people pay attention more to this night, focus more on this night, the 27th night. So tonight is the 27th night of Ramadan. And in this night, most masjids, or a lot of masjids, Qur'an is completed on the 27th night. Because this is the night when the Qur'an was revealed. So this is a night of barakah. This is the night of blessings. And how much barakah, how much benefit, how many blessings are there in this night? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life, alhamdulillah, to reach to this night. And this is Allah ta'ala's karam, Allah ta'ala's favor upon us. So definitely we shouldn't waste these moments. And according to the ahadith, we should, from the commentary of the Qur'an, from the explanation of the Qur'an, we should understand this verse a little bit, the fadail of this verse, of this surah, and we shouldn't waste this evening. How long is the night? It's just short. It starts after Maghrib, after the evening prayer. After a little while, the night will start. And this will continue and remain until Fajr. Just a little few moments, a few hours. So the importance and the greatness of this night is such that the most important thing here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an has revealed a whole chapter that we read, Surah Qadr. Surah Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. This is the surah, the chapter of Qadr. So Allah ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That we have sent the Qur'an down in the night of Qadr. So that's one point that comes out from this night. How much barakah, there must be such a great kalam. Allah Ta'ala's kitab is the decoration of this night. It has a link and attachment to this night. So we have to think that what is the barakah of this night? We cannot imagine. We can imagine the kalam pak, the pure kalam of Allah, the Qur'an is linked to this night. And this whole night has the association of Qur'an. And all the rest of the nights, due from the whole year, all the nights Allah Ta'ala selected this night and attached it to the Qur'an. So this night, mashallah, is sparkling due to this fact. Then Allah Ta'ala says, which is the asal thing, that what should we understand about this night? Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, in a beautiful, unique style, that you cannot understand this night. Allah Ta'ala has no limits There is unlimited the reward, the afdhaliyah, the greatness. Allah Ta'ala said to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what may let you know what the night of Qadr actually is? And what we realize is that this night, its greatness and virtues are beyond the realms of understanding of the brain, the human brain. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What can you understand? What can you realize about this night? We don't know. So, when such things are presented by Allah that don't have any limits, that are unlimited and have greatness and virtues where there's no limit, then this is what happens, is that the human being have to be to understand. Allah Ta'ala explains that you can understand how great this night is. That's why Allah Ta'ala said about Jannah, paradise, that your mind, your intellect cannot reach that. What is Jannah? What is paradise? Yes, Allah Ta'ala says, yes, I speak about the rivers and the trees of Jannah. But what are the trees of Jannah? You cannot understand, you cannot realize, you cannot imagine what trees there are in paradise. You cannot. Allah says, there's a tree. But in reality, what is the tree of Jannah? What will it be? We think, oh, the tree with the trunk, with the branches, with the twigs. But there will be a tree in paradise that will give you libas, will give you your attire, and the attire will start to come down from that tree. The name is given tree, but don't think, oh, it's like the tree of the world, less like the twigs and the branches, and you sit there and you look at the sketch of the tree like it's in the world. Allah says, no, this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just given it a name, and has said to us, it's a tree. But what will be this tree? وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Allah says, only I know. Who can tell you? So in the same way, this night, who can understand this night? Allah Ta'ala says, what's your job? وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Allah has given a few hints about this night. Allah Ta'ala has given us a few hints, and I'll explain a few of these. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. So one thing here, Allah Ta'ala said, that just understand this point, that more than 83 months, 83 years plus 4 months, 83 years plus 4 months is the duration of 1,000 months. And more than 1,000 months, this month is greater than 1,000 months, Allah Ta'ala says. So this is the point Allah Ta'ala has made to us. Allah Ta'ala has detailed it. Allah Ta'ala has specified it. Factually, and people don't even live that long. 83 years and 4 months, alhamdulillah. And if all these odd nights we gather and collect and add up, then how many years do we accumulate? And all of these are great, these odd nights. SubhanAllah. So 21st is gone, we wasted the 23rd, we wasted the 25th. Don't waste the 27th. Don't waste the 27th. And think that what do we have to do? Let's grab hold of this opportunity. So here, because mashallah there is consensus that this is the night of Qadr, the 27th night, then let's understand the greatness. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr, laylatul qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ حِيَّ حَتَّى مَطَلَئِ الْفَجْرِ. Allah Ta'ala says that, look, in normal condition, normal times, Allah Ta'ala explains that we have a majlis in normal occurrence, and a regular occurrence, we have a gathering and Qur'an is read, and angels come down on a normal basis. We heard this, we know this, that the angels descend to good gatherings. So here Allah Ta'ala is explaining that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Here normal angels won't come, but the head of the angels will come. Ruhul Quddus. The angels and the spirit descend in it. Allahu Akbar. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا وَالْرُوحُ. And here we hear that when Maghrib time finishes, then the head of the angels, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, who has a special maqam and rank amongst angels. What a great, great angel. The greatest angel. Imagine how great an angel he is. The only Allah, he was in between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine. Great maqam. Great status. And we go further. That who was there on the day of the meeting between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and he said at Sidratul Muntaha, here this is my limit, I cannot go beyond this, I've accompanied you as far as I can on the journey. Imagine his nur, his daraja, his rank, his status, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, mashallah. Can we imagine? So great personality, great angel, and for him to descend on the night of Qadr, can you imagine how great that night is then? Can we imagine how great that night is? And can we waste time on that night? Can on that night we commit sins? Can we, can a sister or a brother or a woman or a man do actions on that night which come under the banner of haram, unlawful? Can we on that night have dunya in our hearts, the love of dunya? Think. Think how the Quran makes it clear to us, so clear and factual, and assists us that a person comes into his consciousness when he listens to the Quran, hears the Quran, understands the Quran. But this is the insan today. How sad that despite having iman, we celebrate this night worse than the normal days that we live. We don't even have any care, due attention, worse. The normal nights, how we are, what we do, our pastimes, we go beyond that in a worse way when we commemorate, remember or celebrate this night. And sometimes, in the name of Islam, we do incorrect things on this night. And there's another big challenge here alongside Islam. We have to think about this. That what is the hal of the Muslimin on this night? Allah Ta'ala is explaining that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, he will descend, and Laylatul Qadr is greater than 1,000 months, and a special ward, it's not a normal night. On this night, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, the head of the angels, he is being sent by Allah. And how does he come? Great angel, big angel. And when he descends, his cabinet comes with him, his secretary, ministers, and mashallah, 70,000 in number, special elite guard of angels who assist him, who travel with him, who hold the secrets of Jibreel Islam. They travel with Jibreel alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And when they descend, where will they go first? It's obvious. First, there's only one place to go, isn't it? They're not going to come to Bolton. They're not going to go to Manchester. They're not going to go to Croydon Masjid. They're not going to go to any Khanqah. First and foremost, where are they going to go? Allah. In that home. That home that was constructed by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Baytullah. The house of Allah. Which is linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where we go and prostrate. Where we turn to and face when we're praying salah. This is it, isn't it? This is it. So that's where the angels will go. So if I say that they will go and do tawaf first. And because they come into the world, maybe they come in ihram, maybe. And because they will go to the hadood, we go there, isn't it, with ihram on. So maybe Hazrat Jibreel Islam will go first, do umrah with all his assistants and all of his angels, subhanallah. Then he will erect the standard, the flag on the Kaaba. On the Kaaba, he will erect the standard. So what we realize from the standard, the flag, is that the announcement is being made at the time that Allah Ta'ala's deen, Noor-e Khuda, the deen of Islam, overwhelms the acts of wrong and sin. That the Noor of Islam cannot be put out. The light of Islam cannot be put out. It is a light. It will keep on burning and glowing and shining until the day of judgment. No one can finish Sharia and Quran. We can try our best. We can try to do what we want to diminish it. But Allah Ta'ala says, I elevate it. That Islam and deen will overwhelm everything else. You can blow on it and try to put it out, but it will not go out. This is that light that will continue to glow until the end of time. This is what the reality of Islam is. Just like the moths run after the light and burn it in, the lovers of Islam will continue to run selflessly towards the deen and the light and the noor of Islam, and it will continue to shine. So there's a reminder, because Ramadan, remember what I said before? Ramadan comes to make us revise and get refreshed and to go review the deen. This is a refresher course in Ramadan daily. Ramadan is revising, making us revise and refresh ourselves. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is doing. He's making us refresh our knowledge that Islam is not going to be, it will go out, the light will not go out, disaster will come, issues will come, ups and downs will come. Don't make your heart small. Oh, what do we do now? Islam is being trod upon. Oh, Muslims are destroyed. Oh, what should we do? What are we going to do? No. Allah Ta'ala says you cannot blow out the light, the glow, the shine and the sparkle. So it's announced on this night, on the 27th night of Ramadan, that this is the deen of Allah. And the honest Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to this earth with the true deen. The Quran are the words of Allah. After hundreds of years, the Quran was revealed to the earth, and Allah Ta'ala revealed it and gathered it into the hearts of the believers. And every year in Ramadan, the Hafiz is told, come on Hafiz, up, you stand, you revise and read, and refresh our minds as well. Subhanallah, the link of the Quran. So can this be put out? Can Islam be put out? We sit down and cry based on issues and circumstances. Allah says Islam will not disappear. Islam will continue. Allah is encouraging us, isn't he? Is Allah Ta'ala not encouraging us? Nice encouragement Allah Ta'ala is making for us. You're sitting there scared, oh, we're finished, we're looted Islam, where's Islam gone, what should we do? Islam's not going anywhere, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says, Jibreel Islam will erect the standard of Islam, of the Haqq, on top of the Kaaba. Then the cabinet is given hukum. How many angels there are? 70,000 are special angels, but there are more. And After Maghrib, what do they do? There are so many angels that on every home an angel will arrive. Think, in every home an angel will arrive. To every house of a person of Iman, be careful today. Receive the angels. Receive the angels. And don't do the actions of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. How did they receive the angels? How did they welcome the angels? How did they host the angels? And then what happened? Then when the angels were sent to Lut alayhi salam's qawm, then they started to do their work, didn't they? And they started to follow their habits. And then the angels came and we know what happened. So we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Habib of Allah. And due to his sadaqah today, due to his blessings, the angels will come to our home. So be specially careful, cautious today. Prepare for them. Prepare for the angels. Make food for them. Prepare for them. What do the angels eat? Give them rizq. Give them coffee. Give them biscuits. Give them food. When a guest comes, you give them food. You give them refreshments. Make your house beautiful. And they like fragrance. Because they are from the heavens, the angels. So make your house clean and pure. And give them fragrance. And have yaqeen that the guests are going to come after Maghrib. They're going to, am I wrong? The Quran is telling us this. This is the verse of the Quran. They come to the houses, every house they come to. Subhanallah, there is تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. They're not coming on their own. They're coming how? Subhanallah, with the leave of your Lord Allah. When Allah says, go to this house, every house, when an angel arrives, with whose order will it come? He is a guest that is sent by Allah. So what do we do? We do the actions of Lut alayhi salam, his nation. We are doing the actions, our women, our children, and we do wrong things. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli. So what happened to the qawm of Lut alayhi salam? The nation of Lut alayhi salam. What happened? What was the consequences? When they received the angels in the wrong way, they were destroyed. Wiped away. So spiritually, those adab will not come. Physically. So those houses, homes that do not receive the angels properly, they don't give invitation to the angels, they don't appreciate the angels, that from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reminders coming to us, and we still stay steadfast on our sins and our bad habits, the same silly actions are present. Then that is why Hazrat Lut alayhi salam's qawm was punished, and more severe punishment will be given to us. More severe punishment. But that adab is in such a form, it's spiritual. You don't see it physically, but that house is then given the severe punishment. And you can try as much as you want. You can try as much as you want to get away from it, but due to the actions, that is the result. It will not be corrected. It will not be resolved. I'll explain this to you. This is what happens. This is what happens. So brothers, be careful, have regard that adab, let's not get immersed in adab, in punishment. Rather, in another narration, it stated that when such houses are found, when they welcome the angels in such a way, then the angels put a cross in front of the house. They put a cross and permanently they have an ink and a dye, such a dye that they put a symbol on the house that this person is unfortunate. This person's a loser. Did I not tell you the hadith in the beginning? Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that the person who loses the goodness of Laylatul Qadr, there's no bigger loser than that person. In reality, there's no bigger loser than this person who gets the cross from the angels in front of the house. May Allah ta'ala do khair and goodness for us. And do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm sharing? Do you understand? Look inside your homes. Oh, friends of Allah, I will also look and you also look. Today, firm, strict guests are coming. In the Quran, the events that I mentioned, these are not stories or fairy tales or jackanories. Just a little bit of the form has changed. The situation has changed. That's it. So, it is written, it is recorded, that what does this person get? So if before they come, we refresh them, when a guest comes in our house, in the world, what do? We do a vacuum clean, we do the hoover, we clean out, we dustpan and brush, etc. So what will be the cleaning agent for the angels? Don't go and start dusting your mattresses, your bed sheets, or hoovering the house frantically. This is what we're doing. Don't start lighting the candles and put the lights off. Was the angels coming? Speak according to their taste. Speak on they. How, what do they see as the clean home? The biggest point that comes from the hadith is that the person who eats haram, who consumes haram, he should do tawbah. I'm not going to do haram after it. In that home where there is haram, where there is haram rizq, where there are haram earnings, that's the most dirtiest place. The dirtiest place. All sins and evil, what influences and attracts sin and evil? Do you understand haram? Shall I go into a bit more detail? The person who eats haram, who consumes haram, his rizq is haram, his earnings are haram, he earns through lying, he earns through fraud, he earns through interest, he earns through deceit, he earns through looting or grabbing, money grabbing. And listen to this also, that if you have rizq It doesn't mean that the rizq that's in your home, because you've deposited it in a bank account and you think, oh, the angels will come to mass. Because you keep going to the bank, don't you, with your card machine, and you stand and you withdraw the cash. So the meaning here is that not the rizq that's in that bank, rather haram rizq you see in every particular atom of that person, in every child, in the generations to come, in the child and the people at home. Why? Because the person who's feeding the children, the duty was given. It's not the wife's fault. It's not the children's fault. Whose fault is it? Who's given the duty? Who was given the duty? The man was given the duty. Wasn't it? So this is deen. So they are the blood, isn't it? The children, his children. And every child you will see the effect of haram, the haram earnings. Somebody's mal, somebody's wealth, somebody will lie and earn, somebody will claim incorrectly and take money. He will sign incorrectly and take money. He will have made lie accounts based on lies and fraud and fraudulent claims. What is all this? This is unlawful. You can do Allahu Akbar, sajda, let's go and do Umrah. Children, come, let's go, put this on, put this haram on, do this, change your libas, go and do this. Nothing will be accepted. They are angels. They are angels. For them, that we need cleanliness, purity. What do we need? Cleanliness, purity. Just like for the guest, you need purity. So the first thing, where do you do the vacuum cleaning job? Aha, Allah Ta'ala says, you have to recognize your downfalls. Yes, and unlawful, haram, we have to do tawbah for this. And haram comes from many angles. A person's working, he's not working properly, he's an employee, he's got to work 8 hours, and he's dragging the time along, not working, or he's doing personal family matters, he's doing at home, he's standing, phoning, hello, how are you, what's going on, what shopping do I have to buy today? And then you should take the money out of the wages. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu taught us about haram. The candle would be lit, the light. When somebody came to meet him, he'd blow the light out. He said, what are you doing, Umar? He said, now we're speaking privately, personal thing. And this candle, it glows and burns on the government funds. I cannot utilize that for my personal reason. So in the masjid, the light's on. We come in, Assalamu alaikum, Kimchu, how are you? Oh, what's happening later? And elderly people are sitting and wasting time. Astaghfirullah, utilizing the masjid's resources. You listen to what I'm saying? I said, if it's attached to you, my words, but sitting in the masjid doing haram? And there's no work of deen happening, and just chit-chat and gossiping, and this is called sheikh who looks after the students and explains these masail to them. You don't become a wali by just sujood, prostration. Yes, that sometimes used to be anger, and it was never the habit of my Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi that after Isha, he would stay in the khanqah. No, he would leave straight away. That were his routine, totally according to Sharia. He explained according to the Sunnah and the Sharia he would practice. So after Isha, if you saw Hazrat there, fair enough, you'd see him. But at that time, mostly he would disappear. As soon as he read Isha, prayed Isha, Hazrat gone, disappeared. And you couldn't go and knock on his door. Only if you were really in need and desperate, somebody would come. That's another point. But subhanAllah, it was based upon Hazrat's mood if he would reply to the knocking on the door after Isha. But it was up to him whether he'd go or not. That was his maqsid, his objective. SubhanAllah. Focused he was. Focused. He would after Isha leave straight away, quickly, towards his khanqah, the new khanqah where Hazrat did my tarbiyah. And I say that Hazrat made that khanqah for me, because Hazrat never used to live there. His home, his vicinity was Gadai Sharif, further away. And his father, grandfathers, everyone was in Gadai Sharif from the beginning. And that's where, but he left that place, Gadai Sharif, to come to the city. But as soon as I went and I met my Hazrat for the first time, Hazrat left everything and came there to the same block, in our block, in our area, where we live in our city. In India you have vicinities, in Pakistan you have vicinities, or the block, we call it the block. So Hazrat left Gadai Sharif, and very quickly the khanqah there was made, and there was a main road between the khanqah and where neighbor used to live. And sometimes I used to hold Hazrat's hand, or he used to hold my hand. He was weak, but with speed he would make me cross the road. And there were a few people in the masjid. They were dervish, they were students. And Hazrat said, do you not fear Allah? Do you not fear Allah? This is not your home, this is the house of Allah, and you are spending the resources of the masjid in here without any need. Stop this, close this. And after Fajr, after Maraqabah, Hazrat gave a little bayan for 5 minutes. But bayan for 5 minutes, that listen, that have adab for the masjid, respect the masjid. Imagine the sensitivity between halal and haram. And Hazrat said, I have to give the answer from this masjid, I am linked. I have to answer for the utilization of the resources of the masjid. So this was, subhanAllah, this is called being a Muslim. And every one of us should be this. Not that he was a wali, a sheikh. Every one of us should be like this. Deen, the practice, their practice, what they got from Quran and Haditha has come to us. Yes, and so we should practice this. So first and foremost, the angels that will come in the homes, what thing do we have to take out? What do we have to take out? Haram. If it doesn't come out, then don't take it out. But this is not an option. The angel is going to come. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. I'm reading Quran. I'm not doing tafsir. I'm not doing commentary. I'm not a mufassir sitting in front of you. I'm reading Quran. I'm doing translation of the verses. Anyone can do the translation. We've got permission, haven't we, to do that? Have we got permission to translate? I'm not doing commentary. Ask Mawlana Sahib, can I do translation? Can I read the translation? I have ijazah. We have to take permission from Mawlana Sahib. So Alhamdulillah, I've got ijazah to do that. So I'm not doing tafsir, I'm not commentating on the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah, bi'idhni rabbihim min kulli amr. So let's see, are we doing tafsir of this? Are we practicing this? Subhanallah. So there's no option here. We cannot choose as we will. There are two things here. Either if we take haram out of our life, my friends, then the dunya will go with it, and it will get material loss, possibly, and one thing will come. Yes, if a person doesn't take it out, the dunya, then adab and jahannam will come. So what's the decision? But if a person says, dunya goes fine, dunya comes out of the life, and everything comes out of the life, then the angels will come, and Allah's rahmah will come, and jannah will come, and paradise will come. So what do we want? Which one do we want? Why have we come here to do dhikr? For jannah. For paradise. So then what about the conditions for today? The guests are going to come today. Quickly run. And don't clean the house when you get home. We have to clean the house here from where we are now. The wife's not going to do the cleaning. We, me and you here in the masjid in Allah's home. We have to clean our homes before we get back. From here we can clean it. So the cabinet of the angels, they'll be coming. They'll have a libas. There were imama. Yes, when there's something important, the angels come with imama. The Quran bears witness to this. Allah Ta'ala says that they come with what? Wearing the attire of the imama. What do we call the imama today? How do we regard the imama? I don't say nothing. No, I don't say nothing. So the angels descend to the earth with imamas. They have the whole libas. And the libas of the angels is just like, same like Jibreel alayhi salam, what imama he would have had, and a beautiful clothing attire, and that sparkling, his imama. So why shouldn't he wear imama? They said, we have to wear it, because Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore the imama, and we are his ghulams. We are his servants, subhanallah. And we know his status, his capacity, his personality. As the Jibreel alayhi salam used to cry and say, that he went to the extreme limit, I couldn't go beyond that, because I was told I cannot go further. So if I don't imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who will I imitate? How can this be? That this is for me an honor. Do you understand? This is for me an honor that I am practicing the sunnah. So we call this azaz. It's the honor. It's honorable. It's an honor for me, great honor for me, great ni'mah for me that I'm copying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm following him. This is a great honor for me because I know what is his status, what is his rank. I know who he is. So I know what I'll get for it. But how sad today that we say we are lovers and we don't know. We say we are alim. We are hafidh, we have Quran in our hearts, and they don't know about this aspect of deen. Their members are empty from these words. Their members empty. Whose member is this? Whose house is this? Allah. Whose member is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have we lost out there? We don't understand. Whose house is it? Allah. And who is it? Rasulullah says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Is this not the case? So everywhere Rasulullah's name is there where Allah Ta'ala's name is. There's no place where it's just Allah. Allah Ta'ala attached Rasulullah with him. So when a person sits, only that person will sit on the minbar who is a total and utter deep lover of Rasulullah. And he follows Rasulullah just like as a Jibreel follows in this night with the angels he comes. In the appearance he comes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, Surah Qadr. We're still to come. We have only just started it. The main bit is to come. So do you understand what I'm saying? MashaAllah. So this is cleaning the home. So we have to prepare dishes and refreshment for the angels. So we have to clean the house from haram. We have to make promise that we will leave haram. And all of the haram habits that we've got, first of all, what do we have to do? Clean the heart. Clean the home. And to clean the house, what do we have to do? Tawbah. So collect everything, all of the sins and the unlawful, and open the drain and open the cover, and Allah says, throw this down there. Subhanallah. Totally you refresh yourself. Allah, I stop this sin, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I will stop that. I will listen to what you're saying, that I'm going to stop, but you are forgiven. Go. Angels are waiting for you. Look, angels, look at this man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, the angels are coming from where? And where are they going? They're coming from where? Are they coming from Baruch? From Surat? Where are they going? Allahu Akbar. And whose hukum did they come with? Whose order? They came with Allah's order. Will they come empty-handed? Such a big insan, human being, and they're coming to a house, the angels. Will the angel come empty-handed? Allahu Akbar, the in-laws when they come with a mango box or other items. So the angels will also bring. And where will they bring from? Jannah. They will bring gifts from Jannah. When a person, when they attain somebody, when they find someone, any sister, brother, man, woman, every human being, when they find them, they say, As-salamun. Subhanallah. Salamun hiya hatta ma tala al-fajr. Subhanallah. This is right till the debut of dawn, right till the banks of dawn. So special gift, what will they come with? The angels? Jibreel alayhi salam, they'll bring him. Subhanallah, he will come. Jibreel alayhi salam. And here the beauty of this is now, that there won't be normal angels will be coming. Yes, the chief of the angels, the chief of the angels, he will come in every house, in every home he will come. Who? Which home? The people who have purified their homes, he will get to those homes. What a beautiful transaction. What a beautiful bargain. Do you want to receive Jibreel Islam, brothers and sisters, or my sisters, or brothers, or my friends? Are you listening? Are you listening? Do you want to receive and be the host for Hazrat Jibreel Islam? Who will come to our house? They will give the bell, I've come, Jibreel alayhi salam, with 70,000 angels. So some angels will come into your house as well, won't they? So here, millions of angels come, subhanallah, with the grace of Allah. And I think that Allah Ta'ala has given it full capacity every place, that you are the ummatis of my Mahbub, and I throw a lot of rahmah on them, and I won't leave them on their own. Even if it's a little bit, Allah Ta'ala says that you cannot count, you'll go unlimited, there's so many angels will come. Yes, and because obviously your houses won't be dirty, even if it's a small house with a candle lit for light, there'll be dal, some places will be ginger for suhoor, some places you can only eat the dry chapati and the water and a yogurt pot and some chapati. In some houses you'll have different levels, in other houses you have high levels and different levels. Subhanallah. In some places if somebody will be waiting, then maybe Chaudhary Sahib will send something to eat at home because the children are hungry. So in everyone's home, everyone who said La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala does says that don't look if this person's poor. Look, O angels, who's got cleanliness in the house? In whose house is there purity? Allah Ta'ala says this is what we need to see. In whose house is there purity? Do you understand? So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam will come himself, with him will be the angels, and what will they bring? Subhanallah. So here Allah Ta'ala says that they will bring the gifts of the hereafter, the gifts of heaven. So what's the gift of heaven? We're just thinking about stomach and food and drink, because the angels are coming from Jannah, not from somewhere else, and these gifts will be useful there in the hereafter. These gifts, if we preserve them. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr tanazzalul malaikatu war ruhu fiha bi idni rabbihim min kulli amr salamun salam. Allah says, what's the biggest gift? Salam, salam. They will come with salam. What will be that salam? Allahu Akbar. From every child, from every woman, from every man, from every sister and brother, there will be salam. There will be salam. And here Jibreel alayhi salam will do the salam himself. Do you not feel it? We don't feel it. We don't feel it. But the Quran has said it. That's it. End of story. This is happening. This is happening. The Quran, or do we want dalil, or do we want proof, or do we going to look around looking for the physical proof? It's happening. If Allah Ta'ala says, I'm there, that's it. If Allah says, this is the route, it's there. End of story. Allah says, there's Jannah. Yes, Allah, we believe there's Jannah. If Allah says, Jibreel al-Islam is coming, and he will give you salam, ready. Allah, we're ready for the salam. Salam. So, mashallah, you need a hand to do salam, isn't it? So the best thing is do that action with the action of the heavens, because then you do salam. Do the salam. It's right what I'm saying, isn't it? So we should do that action, the good actions, the angel actions. Subhanallah. So here, Allah Ta'ala says, the angels, which are the creation of heavens, they are coming to our house. So do that action, treat them, give them food, give them drink. There will be a treat. So they will get a treat, they will get food, they will get tea and water, etc. And our job, which is where we're focused towards Jannah, there's only one deed that can give that, and that is dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah runs in the dunya and in the hereafter. Dhikr of Allah. So just be quiet, relax and sit in dhikr. Now, dhikr is the khuraq, is the food for the angels. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah. The angels eat this. They consume this. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. And after a few hours, our jamaat will be set and will be immersed and enjoying dhikr. It will be darkness. We'll be free from hearing Quran. We're going to go home, do you think? You'll see me, all of you. All of you. Subhanallah. And I'll be there. I'm there. And I'm mad in love with the dhikr, and I'm making other people mad in love with it as well. So in one heart, everyone's going, the moths in one direction, towards one light. They're independent from everything. They make we made dunya jannah. Allahu Akbar. We want everything. We made the link. Yes? So what do we have to do? Is do the dhikr of every man, every woman. With tasbihat, the dhikr of the heart. That's it. So you're going to get the food, the angels will get the food, and from the angels they will give the very good and excellent salam when they see an individual. They say that this is that man on the earth, he's doing dhikr, and he's doing the same actions and habits that we do when we're in heavens. Acha, this is that man who gave us khuraq, and he's reciting La ilaha illa anta subhanaka, and they'll come and say, Kemcho, how are you? Are you fine? Are you healthy? Are you eating, drinking? They speak. And we think, ah, we're fine, we're okay, I've come to the masjid. Brothers, the angels, they say that morning and evening, subhanAllah, that today you've met the angel and you've met them as well. Allahu Akbar. So then two hands come out. One is the physical hand on the world and one is the spiritual hand in the heavens. Yes, so the ruh, it joins, it connects. Allahu Akbar. And how long will this continue on for? How long? Allah Ta'ala says, I will let this situation continue because time is short. Where for your time, the adhan will be called, and people will be eating or finishing their suhoor. What will the angels do? They will say salam, and then those houses that they did not prepare and clean and eliminate the unlawful actions, then they will not benefit. So where will the angels go? They'll go back to where they came from Makkah al-Mukarramah. And as soon as this Fajr time, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam will flutter his wings like that, and he'll fly back with the angels to the heavens. So my friends, let's make our lives, let's not spoil our lives. That's why I stated in this hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the person who stays lost or loses out on this night, then he will lose out from everything. From everything. And the person who loses from the benefits, in other words, imagine the benefits of Laylatul Qadr. The benefits. And the person who loses the benefits of this is in reality the severe loser. And it's written, Summun bukimun qawm umyun fahum la yarji'un. That those people whose ears are sealed, their eyes are sealed, their noses are sealed, they will never be able to clean their homes. They will never be able to empty their homes of the sins. And things have attached to them. You know, like the wolf that's run after them and attached to it. And they're just following the deen of tradition and culture, and they've got used to it. And they have a statement they call out. They have a statement. Those people have a statement. What is that statement they have? That I want dunya and I want deen. I want dunya and I want deen, they say. This is their call. This is their shout. This is their claim. We want deen and we want dunya. We want deen and we want dunya. These are those people who can never understand the deen. That's it. Just one jolt of death comes and the severity of the grave will explain to them. Nothing else can explain to them. Yes? So this is the hint for those who listen and are hearing. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. The friends of Allah read this surah all year long and say, Allah, when will this night come? When will this night come? All year long. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام. They read this surah all year long. And the wali say, Allah, when is this night coming? Allah, when is this night coming? Allah delivers them to the night. And how big a loser is that person who doesn't benefit from this night? May Allah Ta'ala give us the qadr, the appreciation of this night. And it's not necessary that if we've understood here, we should do what we've understood. And that's it. So, the question is asked to the Shaykh, what is the ibadah for this night? What should we do? What dua? What ibadah? What shall we do? What shall we read? It's good to ask and to get guidance. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, that's why there are murids here, so that the Shaykh can explain and guide totally. So it's very easy. It's very easy. You ask, so I'll tell you the answer. It's very easy. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha stated that the biggest ibadah on this night of Laylatul Qadr is Tawbah, where Allah Ta'ala has given us direct an opportunity on this day that do tawbah. I am the one to accept the tawbah. Allah says, so do tawbah. Repent. Do you understand ibadah? The greatest ibadah on this night. The biggest ibadah on this night. The most important ibadah. What is it? What is it? The best and highest and loftiest ibadah. Remember my point, what I'm making here. Remember the point here. The ulama ikram explain this. The scholars, the respected scholars, that we come into the trickery that sitting here and Allah Ta'ala announces that your sins are forgiven. And I'm forgiven. That's it, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that Laylatul Qadr comes and everybody will be forgiven. We hear this, don't we? And then we basically turn direction after a few hours and we think we're forgiven. And then we just go hand on hand and say, yeah, we're successful and we don't need to do anything else. This is wrong. This isn't correct. So this forgiveness We need to understand this. Don't be big-headed that I'm totally forgiven, I'm fine. So, unless we understand the clarity of bakhshish, forgiveness, Allah is Rahim, Kareem, whatever Allah Ta'ala says, we have to hear and listen carefully to what Allah is saying. So, with regards to forgiveness, when Allah Ta'ala says, go, I've forgiven all of you. Listen to this carefully. The ulama, the scholars have taken out the extracts here. What does this mean? There are two sins of a person. One is saghira, one is kabira. Yes, I'll give you an example. Shall I give you a small example? It's alright, isn't it? To this, so you have saghira and we have kabira. What's the difference here? So kabira, sins, which are the larger, the bigger. Yes, so this is kabira sin. This is kabira sin. Don't do this. Big sin. Big sin. Defined. And saghira are smaller sins, which can be annulled regularly. So here, we have a saghira sin, and the other sin is a kabira sin, major sin, big sin. So what is saghira and kabira? What's the difference? When Allah Ta'ala says, I've forgiven you all. The ulama ikram say that the meaning of this is that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven their sins that were saghira, that were minor. And Allah Ta'ala says, go. That's it. This is a very dangerous route, isn't it, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah. So all of the sins of a person, the minor sins, are forgiven and wiped away. But illa ma taba. Allah Ta'ala says tawbah will be accepted at that time. Illa ma taba. Tawbah will be accepted that time when his Allah Ta'ala's servant does tawbah first. You understand what I'm saying? So for big sins, what do we need to do? Or what should we be doing? So we do zina from the eyes, we do adultery from the eyes, looking at a ghair mahram. Doesn't matter who you are. It's not that she's walking on the street, you've looked at her. No. You can see the ghair mahram woman in any form, in any place. In the newspapers, in pictures, in images, in whichever form or method you see a ghair mahram woman. Whether the man's looking at the woman or the woman's looking at the man. Yes, this is zina of the eyes. To look at the person who's the ghair mahram, to consume interest is haram. And these all things come in a major sin. So Allah Ta'ala says, illa ma taba. These sins won't just be forgiven like this. When will they be forgiven? That if the person, the servant of Allah, does not do tawbah, if he doesn't repent, if he doesn't accept his wrongdoings, he doesn't have remorse or regret for his sins, for his crimes, then how will that person have the understanding? He will come and say, Allah, I've come. Then he will say, that when he asks for forgiveness, Allah says, then I will give the forgiveness. This is the principle. Otherwise Allah says, I don't forgive. Then the person will say to Allah, Allah, I seek your forgiveness. And this is called tawbah. You don't understand what I'm saying? So, after this, you get tawbah. After this, you get tawbah. The tariqah for tawbah is this. What is tawbah? What is the condition of tawbah? That Allah, I used to consume haram. I used to do bad actions. I did zina. I did this and this and this. So he's thinking now, isn't he? And he's ashamed, or he's got remorse and regret for his sins. And he says, Allah, I did these sins. Allah, I start my tawbah. Except I did this. I promise that I will not do this action again. I'm ashamed. I've made a mistake. And I accept my mistake. And I've presented my file. And it's open in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah, I promise that from now, I will not do this again, this action. Allah says, your tawbah is accepted. That's it. So saghira, kabira, all these sins will be blown away by the wind, and he will not know anything because he doesn't differentiate. Totally clean, new start. And this is called tawbah. So you have to say, Allah, I've done this action or actions, I won't do it again. I've done it, and I won't do it from today, says the sister and the brother. That's it. If I go towards it, it's not good, but I will try to leave it from today. And make that total niyyah in intention. You have to make that niyyah and then depart from here. Because there's only a little bit of time. When we go home, the angels will be at home. We'll do tawbah from here. When we go, the things I've said. And then the situation will start. You'll be breaking the fast with the dates here. And they'll be knocking on your door, the angels. Has this man done tawbah? They'll be sitting there from before we get home with the fadl of Allah. And they will have sat with us. They'll see us eating food. MashaAllah, he's done tawbah. According to the sunnah, he will eat sitting. He will eat in the sunnah. Why will he imitate something else or somebody else? He will imitate our Habib. Rasulullah says, the angels say, we know. Why will he run left and right, sit, he'll wash his hands, lay the dastarkhan, food, do dua. After doing dua, he will put the foods down, the dishes down in separate plates. And with three fingers he will eat. But no one's taught us Muslims this nowadays. So what do we teach on the members? Oh, this, say this, do this and that. This person said this, quarrels and disputes and this and that, etc., etc. But does anyone teach sunnah on the member of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'll say first and foremost that before any was, what should an alim do is that definitely speak about one sunnah to the people. After that, start your speech and bring the world together, bring the people together. Otherwise, the ruh will finish. So tell me how many qawms there are that don't know about sunnah. How many masjids there are in the world? How many speeches and lectures and durus and Quran is read? But I say one condition, 90%, rather I would say 90%, 95% of people, where do they attain this learning? From the khanqah. From the khanqah. That's where they attain their learning from. So why do you make the enmity with the khanqah people? Why do you make enmity? Now I'll tell you psychology. Because those people who speak, they don't practice themselves. When the common man comes and sits down, and he's demonstrating the color of the deen, then he starts where that person on the minbar, his knowledge finishes. Subhanallah. So our initiation is from that point. From that point. So you'll see this. We've seen big people, many people. As a Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah alayhi. Subhanallah. Great sheikh. And he went to Deoband, and it was the generation of Hazrat Tayyib rahmatullah, and they require faqihs, they require friends of Allah. They knew that they're not dependent, the friends of Allah, they have to prove this from hadith or Quran, etc. No, the person is recognized by his amal, by his deeds. Never feel, oh, qala, qala, Rasul salam, you alim, and look at the person, his appearance is formed, then if you see it's not correct, then just leave the door straight away. We don't need such hadith, we don't need such kitab. I speak direct and bitter. Never rely or depend. Never allow depend. Because this is the declaration of Rasulullah. Nobody can deny this. The question doesn't arise. But things can be presented correctly and incorrectly. So this is that nur. This is that light. That at that time, it will come out of the mouth correctly when the person who is explained and told to, he practiced that path. That we've come here to do amal. We've not come here to hear. We are jahil. We are incapable. We are not capable. We've come to learn. We haven't come here to play games. We haven't come here to do wrong. We haven't come here to bang the drums. We have just left our work. We'll come here and we'll learn something and we'll put it into practice. But we don't know. We don't know. So why is there opposition to this? For this reason, because they don't have the amal. They don't have the practice. And when a person who is a common man does amal, then the person in the position of standing and learning, he's angry then. And he tells off that person, makes excuses, etc. So this is inferiority complex. Then the arguments start. That this person, he's a jahil, he's backward, he doesn't know about deen, he doesn't know about knowledge. And on top of the azab, that he doesn't speak the haq on the member, he earns another azab. So that's why people have enmity with the fakirs. But those who have understanding, who are alims from the family, who from the generations they have nur and light, first and foremost, they are the ones who go and they find compatibility with the sheikh. They see that there's amal, there's practice, and practice is the biggest thing. They stop there. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh, subhanAllah, I'm not saying I'm Sheikh Ludis, I'm a Mufti, I teach Bukhari, Alhamdulillah. As a Mufti Saifullah, Sahib, may Allah Ta'ala allow his rahmas to descend on him. I'm so happy by seeing an alim like this. I feel like to lay down my efforts and all my time, that where are we? When an alim comes on to amal, Allahu Akbar, he becomes the deputy of Rasulullah SAW. We don't become even, we're not even then the similar to the dust on the slippers of that person. Subhanallah. So a person who has qala qala Rasulullah in his heart, is it a small thing? But because the person doesn't have the ilm, the capacity to spread it, then he wastes all his knowledge. And Muftiyan, we Muslims, we're all people of practice. Straight away we humble ourselves and know ourselves with simplicity, with the humility. Have you seen an alim? Subhanallah. Where we, me, as sinners, broken down, full of ignorance and stubbornness and wrongs, and another person, an alim, from such a big family, until today I feel like, you know, shaking at the time, when I think about this, when I contemplate this. Yes, it's a unique feeling. Why? Such a great individual, such a great alim. And he's coming to Masjid Zakaria, and upon the day, the door, all the awam is there, the whole ummah is there. And, subhanAllah, he's putting the shoes on his, next to his head, and he's crying. Allahu Akbar, and there's no issue with me mentioning the name. Tell me what person that will be who can do this. What is his name? Mawlana Mu'min Sahib, Muddazul Ali, Subhanallah, for whom, mashallah, all year long people wait, and he's given the status and the respect. Why? And he comes to this person because Allah Ta'ala has opened his heart, that go to that person and benefit from that person who gives you amal, in whose jamaat, in his congregation, there's amal. Do you understand the point I'm making? So this is what we need to do. We need to analyze and ponder, because Hazrat Jibreel Islam is coming. So we should know where are we going before that time finishes. We should feel it and know it. So understand deen. That's why people go opposite. The people of learning who are speaking on the minbar, they go opposite the people in the congregation who practice sunnah. They put them down through the Quran and sunnah, because they can't practice it themselves and they won't be overwhelmed or under pressure by the what's happening around. So am I wrong or what, right or I'm wrong? Does this not happen in the society? Yes. It's So, the person who understands the deen like this, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, jahil is not that person jahil. Those people who don't do amal, they are jahil for these people. Yes, but this is the surah that Allah sent, that if you put kitabs on the back of a donkey, you won't become an alim, will you? The donkey. But when the maqam, the status increases, and the alim, when he comes onto amal, then what becomes his status? That where the weight will be taken for the blood of the martyrs, Allah Ta'ala says, the ink of the scholar will be weighed. So if qadr, value the scholars, when you meet an alim who practices, then lower your heads, humble yourself, humility. You can't find an alim like this nowadays. If you find an alim who does amal, then he is the deputy of Rasulullah SAW. Kiss his hands, do ziyara of his face, and kiss his forehead, and do khidmat for him, serve him, give him gifts. But where do you find? And the angels will come and tell us. The angels will come and tell us. So never think that, I'm speaking against the alims or scholars. No, I'm speaking what I've heard from the walis of Allah, which is reality. The ilm is with amal. Knowledge and amal with iman. And that's when all three things will go hand in hand. So today the night is very beautiful. It's massive, alhamdulillah. Because we are refreshing and revising our deen. So recognize good people, recognize good alims, and appreciate them, because they are the deputies. They are deputies of the prophets. What a great thing that in the house of Allah, we're all sitting in the house of Allah, and there's a carpet. But the alim, when he comes in, he won't sit on the floor on the carpet next to us. He will be sitting on the elevated place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us this. This was the status given to the alim, that you will not sit on the earth. Your maqam is the minbar. Your maqam is the minbar. So that people in the world realize that you're not a normal person. You're not like these people. In your heart, you have collected the ulum, the knowledge, Bukhari, Muslim. You've collected everything. You've collected Muwatta of Imam Malik. You are a great individual, and you collect everything. So how can this be your maqam, that you will sit on the floor with the people? You are a great personality. You have amal. You are action. So you're not going to sit on the ground today. You will be sat on the higher pedestal, on the minbar, and on the Day of Judgment, you will be on a higher pedestal as well. This is the alim, the scholar. On the Day of Judgment, you will be higher. Your maqam, your rank will be with the nabis, with the prophets. Isn't it? This is the case. But we utilize it in the wrong way. Just like me, I'm sitting in front of the mic. It's not my haq to sit and speak, is it? So this is the point I'm making, that if somebody utilizes or does something wrong, the ban of Islam. No, this is incorrect. Allah Ta'ala says one difference, yes, is that they don't believe in Allah, but they all have the same traits and habits of love and affection and gentleness. So we are on our deen, they are on our deen. But there should be no enmity, no fighting, hitting, killing. No, fulfill the rights of everyone. Is it permissible that a non-Muslim, that you can go up to him and you impose taxes on him, or you eat their tax or consume their tax? No, I've come to this country, it's allowed for me, I can do it. No. Beware, how dare you? How dare we do that? May Allah Ta'ala give them hidayah, just a jolt, otherwise they do things in a systematic way. So to consume their wealth is haram for us, and to laugh on them is haram. Allah Ta'ala has kept us amongst them in a nice way, so it's haram for us, for a Muslim, to do the wrong actions amongst the people who are not Muslim. So who will teach them? Who will give them the role model? Who will give them the example? Anyway, we've spoken a lot. Let's go towards dhikr. It's dhikr time now. So today was the Laylatul Qadr. So to the whole of the deen, I've refreshed and revised and reviewed in front of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you accept what I'm saying? It's correct. If anyone doesn't understand, then come and tell me. If it's a mistake, come and tell me. I'll make the correction. I'm not ashamed. Tell me that, hey, you've said wrong. Tell me. So have you accepted? Is correct what I'm saying? Then become alert with everything that we've discussed. So what do we do now? We'll do dhikr of Allah. And let's do dua that Allah gives us Laylatul Qadr. And we have to do it today, tonight. Maghrib's coming, alhamdulillah. And we have to feed the angels, and we have to host the angels. We have to give them tea and water, mashallah, refreshments. Jibreel alayhi salam's coming. And who's got yaqeen? Put your hand up. Jibreel alayhi salam's coming. If you've got yaqeen, mashallah. We read Quran, mashallah, you understand. So Jibreel alayhi salam's coming himself. Today is the day of lottery. As a Jibreel alayhi salam is coming, there's light and noor in the house. So go ready, prepared. Then inshallah, we will meet after Isha. Upon what? The dhikr of Allah gathering.